thatgreatbusinessshow.com is brought to you by DeFacto Shaving Oil, the best anyone can get. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide.
Foil Tisteach, you're very welcome to another episode, episode 45 of thatgreatbusinessshow.com, the show listeners refer to as Ireland's best business podcast. I'm your host, Conal O'Moran. You can follow me and my unusual interests, mainly business, sometimes cars, often random, on Twitter, where I'm known as @ConalOM. We're posting this episode on Friday, the 30th of July, 2021. We had Malcolm Murray from Sky Media on episode 44, telling us about their €200,000 worth of free advertising on Sky to be won by 10 small businesses. I've looked at the entry form. It could not be easier. Listen back to Malcolm and then apply before the 5th of August. You have been warned. And we're still getting a great response from Dave O'Hora of Southern.ie's Facebook masterclass that he gave us on episode 43. If you want to know how to use Facebook for your business, Dave's tips are a must. On this episode of That Great Business Show, we have a fascinating software that analyzes games, tells the coach what's going wrong, suggests fixes, and then, well, your team will win, won't they? We have a serial entrepreneur whose latest business aims to stop food waste at shops, delis, and petrol stations. Their owners get paid and customers get a 65% discount. What's not to like? And if you follow the TV show I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, then you'll be familiar with Dingo Dollars. But what about Civic Dollars? We have a Northern Ireland company whose dollars will pay for you to be a better citizen. All of these great stories are made possible through the support of DeFacto Shaving Oil, makers of the world's best shaving oil. Switch from unhealthy shaving foams to all-natural shaving oil, and you'll save your skin, your pocket, and your planet. Check out DeFactoShave.com.
Backing great women-led businesses on every show.
That Great Business Show.
My first guest is an international rugby player who also played with Connacht, Galway Corinthians, Galwegian, St. Mary's University, and had the odd match with Richmond RFC in London. On top of that, just today, she's joining the board of the IRFU. But Yvonne Comer is not here to talk rugby. We're a business show after all. She's here to talk about her business called Rugby Smarts. Hers is a technology that provides automated, real-time video analytics using AI, machine learning and computer vision and all those good things. The company says they can produce consistent, objective and customizable data and visualizations, whatever they are, of player and team performances. In other words, there should be no hiding place for underperformers or shirkers on any team, no matter what the sport. Great news for coaches who may no longer be blamed for a team losing and for probably everything else. Welcome to That Great Business Show, Yvonne Comer.
Good afternoon, Conal, and thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your appointment to the IRFU board.
Thank you. I'm absolutely honoured and delighted and honestly humbled by the support I had, not just from my club, but from clubs all across Connacht. You know,
because you are representing Connacht.
I am the Connacht rep to the IRFU board. Yes, one of four.
And there's an old adage, if you want something to do done, ask a busy person. My good God, you are one busy person. What is, well, just give me a flavour of some of the things that you get up to.
Okay, well, we're not meant to talk rugby, so does that knock all of those out?
No, you're allowed to talk rugby. That is obviously the start and the finish of your business as well.
Yes. So I'm in rugby terms, I'm Director of Women's Rugby out in Corinthians. I'm their Junior Vice President for the last couple of years. I've been Chair of the Connacht Minis Committee. I've been co-opted onto the IRFU Women's Subcommittee, and I'm the Connacht Rep to the IRFU Minis Committee. I run initiatives like the Give It a Try program for the club. I'm starting up a business, which is what we're here to talk about. And I think that's about it at the minute.
Rugby Smarts is the business. Good name. Mm-hmm. However, it does limit you to rugby because I've already had a chat with you and I know that the ambition is obviously any game. Let's start with rugby. What does it really do? I mean, you've used lots of buzzwords, artificial intelligence, machine learning, computer vision.
Yeah, so it basically simplifies the process. At the minute, the analysts are coaches who, if you can't afford an analyst as an amateur team, they have to go through hours and hours of video footage of the match, and they sit there doing a basic data entry job. So they're tagging it. They're going, there was a scrum at this point, there was a ruck there, there's a mole there. And that's before they can do any of the analysis at all.
Okay, the game lasts whatever.
80 minutes, yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
And then somebody has to sit down and then break it all down.
Yeah, normally.
30-second or a minute by minute?
Frame by frame, second by second.
Oh my God.
Depending on the level of analysis they want to get to as an output at the endpoint.
And he or she, your analyst, will say, number 13 ran 50 yards that away, took a left, continued. Yeah. That is just, like, it belongs to the Dark Ages.
Yeah, well, I was shocked when, you know, the idea was first, you know, when my co-founder came to me with the idea, because I thought, that can't be right. It has to be done better than that.
And you better name check your co-founder.
Yes, my co-founder, William Johnston.
Okay. William will be much happier now.
Yes, he will.
So honestly, there is a person sitting down there. Are there many of these analysts? Now, I know it's all professional teams obviously will have them, but you actually mentioned there amateur teams might even have them.
Yeah, a lot of the amateur teams now, if they want to improve performance and move up the ranks and into the next division, a lot of them are paying analysts and videographers to come and do the matches for them. So they're paying them on a weekly match-by-match basis. Some of them have taken on people full-time, but a lot of what they get back would be quite basic because the analysts won't have time to go into that real in-depth micro-analysis that they need to get to with the short turnaround times that they have.
Because what you're hoping to do, I think, is you will record the match, which is normal nowadays, and then you are going to analyze it using the software.
Yes, so the software will do all that data tagging for them. So that will knock out between 5 and 14 hours of the most mundane work they do. Yeah, and it'll give them loads of time then to be creative and to use their knowledge and use their insights.
And will it say number 13 ran 50 yards, took a left and continued, as I mentioned?
We can train it to do that.
Okay, so if you kind of want to improve one particular position or one particular player, you could tag them.
Yeah, so we have the ability to import team sheets and pictures of the players. And long term, what we'll be doing is looking at facial recognition so that we can track the players that way as well.
I've got to ask you, GDPR must come into this somewhere. Comes into everything else.
It does, but there is a way of anonymizing the data so that you only, the coaches and analysts will get back what they need, and then the data is completely anonymous so that
But I want to know if Yvonne Comer has been lurking out the back, letting everybody else get in the head kicked off them.
You're not allowed to know that. Not unless the coaches tell you.
Okay. So go through this now further into a more serious mode. This would be very, very useful to any professional team for a start.
Yeah, any professional team and any amateur team who are just looking to improve their performance and find out where those gaps are.
But does it cost? And would the amateur teams be able to afford it?
Yeah, as I mentioned, a lot of amateur teams are already paying the analysts and paying somebody to video the match for them. And as they go through the divisions and get better, they get more money back into the club by the nature that they are improving performance. And you've also got the fact that if your team is winning, you get more crowds in to watch them. So it will pay for itself. You see, the improved performance will pay for it.
That's the old hoary one. It'll pay. This pays for itself. Honest. Just as a matter of interest, written finger in the air, what kind of money does this cost a club?
At the moment?
Yeah.
They're paying, the clubs we've spoken to are paying €300 plus per match.
Okay. And you can provide the service bigger, better, brighter, cheaper.
Yes, we can. We'd have different levels of the software, so it would be up to whatever the club could afford.
The old freemium argument. Oh, yeah, this won't hurt a bit. And then suddenly,
I've done a business degree.
So where is it at in terms of development?
We have our first commercial trial customer at the moment, and we are going out to the clubs to see who would like to give it a go.
Who is your first trial customer? Will you tell me?
I can't tell you at the moment, only because they're in trial. But as soon as we
would they be a well-known Irish club?
They would be a
of a professional
Irish
standing.
Possibly. Yes.
Towards the west of Ireland, possibly.
Possibly, yes.
Okay, well, okay. It's very green, yeah. And this idea came from whom? Whose big idea was it? Did you see the benefits of it, or were you told this is available, or?
Well, my co-founder, William Johnston, he was working as a coach for Connacht Rugby, and he was doing some of the videoing for Galway Corinthians. And when he was going through the process, he realised, you know, this is horrendous. There has to be a better way of, there has to be a better way of doing this. Now, he's got a big technical background. You know, he's been in the video, I'd say manipulation, but video software industry for a long time, the tech industry for a long time. He's one of the founding members of the ITAG Festival as well, which is big globally now. So he came to me and he's like, I have this idea. I think it can be done better. So I've been thinking about this for a long time, and you're the person who comes to mind every time I do.
And there's my question. Why you? I mean, why not you, of course, but why you?
Amazing, obviously. No, I met William about 3-4 years ago running the Give It a Try program, and his daughter ran up to me. She was Minnie's at the time, I can't remember what, 11 or 12, with a picture of me and her aunt playing soccer together at 16. And that's when I first met William. And it also turns out his dad used to coach me soccer.
Get away.
Yeah.
Small town. Yeah.
And then I kind of roped him in to do coaching for one of the girls' teams. And I've sort of kept him in there ever since.
You need to have proof points for this. Mm-hmm. Having done some trialing on it, what kind of results are you coming up with?
We're getting very, very high accuracy rates at the moment.
Accuracy for what?
Accuracy for tagging the events it says it's tagging. So it can say with, say, 98 degree certainty that this is a scrum I'm looking at right now. So we've got a huge amount of accuracy over all the events we currently have in there. And we've also added an option where you can do it manually as well if there's something specific that wouldn't necessarily be the norm that you want to add in there.
So everybody knows what a scrum is. So mm-hmm. Talk me through a scrum, what your software might do to improve a team which is scrummaging. Maybe it's scrummaging poorly. Person needs a kick.
So our first iteration of the product is going to take away that manual process. So right now it will reduce that 5 to 14 hours down to, you know, half an hour after a game. So it gives them...
Wow, you know, that is fantastic.
Yeah, so it goes, here's a ruck, here's a scrum. It does all that for them. Long term, we'll be looking to go more in depth into the micro analysis of it. And we're considering things like the body position angles in the scrums,
yes,
so that you can see where the power has been lost.
Wow, that is powerful. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody or any company or any group anywhere else in the world doing this?
Not that I can find for rugby.
But for?
I haven't gone in depth into what's behind it all, because sometimes when you hear of AI doing the job, it's not necessarily what it's doing. But American football.
Okay.
Seems to have something, you know, that's where the big money is. So a lot of people will be targeting that market anyway.
And I presume that would be, longer term, one of your own targets.
Yeah, almost the same shape ball. So
that helps.
That always helps. Yeah, the technology is easily transferable to any sport. All we have to do is tweak it and train the AI what it needs to look for. So it's very easy to transfer it across.
I look forward to the AI figuring out what is a real row versus a schmuzzle versus handbags in a game of hurling, because they would have different degrees of importance, yeah, or different degrees of severity.
Well, that's why we're bringing in the red and yellow cards from referees. So that will tell the AI something's gone very wrong.
Very wrong. Very, yeah, very wrong. Where can you bring this? I mean, worldwide, obviously. How quickly can you do it? What do you need to do it? Do you need money? Do you need the backing of players, the backing of clubs?
Yes, so at the moment we're going through that funding cycle. So we've been through the New Frontiers Phase 2 and 3 program, which
with
is
Tony O'Kelly.
With Tony O'Kelly, yes, who got me on the show today. So big shout out to Tony. So we've just done that. We've gone through the interviews for the Competitive Start Fund. We're waiting to hear back on that. In talks with investors to try and get additional funding.
Let me just stop you there for one second. Enterprise Ireland, if you do not back this... You will be in further trouble with me. They're already in trouble with me over. They didn't back another one of the great companies we had on.
I hope you're listening, EI.
So you get your funds and then?
And then we are going to go to the UK and the US.
Okay. So, and will you be going to private investors as well?
Yes. We're already in talks with private investors. We are going to look both in Ireland and the UK for private investment, but we're hoping that we could get the Enterprise Ireland funding first,
of course,
just to set us up in Ireland before we export.
And is there not kind of an obligation on you on behalf of the nation to keep this within these shores? Because if it works, and if it worked brilliantly, our national team could do outstanding things that nobody would ever know. How come Ireland has gone from whatever we are? We're down the pecking order at the moment. And we might start beating the All Blacks again. Do you see the way I said again?
Again, yeah, I like that. Yeah, we can customize it to whatever the coach wants us to do. So if he's got a secret weapon.
So you're back down into the coach. You see, you're blaming the coach again.
But the new tagline still stands. We are the coach's best friend.
Because that's one you and I have discussed just before. So what can Team GBS, that's what we call our listeners, do for you?
Well, we would love any connections in the US particularly. Would be fantastic. You know, we have an in with some of the clubs in the UK. But yeah, any connections in the US, that's where we're heading for.
Well, I have, and I think you may know this, I am one of the founders of the Ireland Connecticut Business Council. I will positively, definitely, without question, introduce you to Connecticut. I don't know how big rugby is in Connecticut. It's in the right area anyway, in New England, so maybe there is. But that'll be in September. In between times, what else do you need? What else do you want? And how quickly can you go from the current iteration? Is it dependent on funding, or is it just trundling away in the background anyway?
No, we are ready to commercialise right now. So we need to get it out to clubs, demo it with them, show them what it can do, and we're ready to go.
And is it a SaaS or do you...
Yeah, it's a SaaS.
Okay.
So, yeah, services and software, yeah.
And so therefore they pay by the hour, by the year, by the whatever.
By the frame of the match, by the tagging event. No, we're going with a subscription model. So we'll be doing it over the rugby season. Obviously it's a seasonal game, so it'll be spread over 10 months.
And if you are at the moment, now this is a silly question in terms of language. Does it speak a language? Can you get into France? Can you get into Japan? Can you get into Italy? Or does it need to be voiced or changed with language?
Well, what we are working on right now, which the language won't matter, we're working on an audio tagging so that as the analyst or coach is watching the game, they can speak what they're seeing, and that will train the AI to recognise that next time around.
And you know whose voice you should use there? Nigel Owens.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Well, we'll tag Nigel Owens on this because you never know. I gather, and I haven't seen it, but I gather he's doing extraordinarily well on the coverage with Sky. So he's a little hero of mine.
Oh, he's brilliant.
So that is, you start with rugby. Mm-hmm. American football, can you really genuinely get it into soccer and every other sport, hockey or hurling?
Yeah, the way we've configured this is it's very, I say we as if I'm the technical brain. So the way William has configured all this thing, it's very, very easily transferable into any sport. You just need to tell it what to look for in layman's terms.
And you know, on your slide deck that you pitch to the investors, there's always one which I'm always interested in. In 3 years' time, it's never five, it's never four, it's always 3 years' time, you're going to be making a dirty great big profit. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
How big is that profit?
Projected. Projected profit in 3 years. Do you know what? I've been told I've undersold us. I had 3.7 million. I've been told that's way too small. That within the next 12 months, we should be hitting at least 1 million profits. So.
Profit?
Yeah.
Not turnover?
Yeah, that's what I was told. Now
you're going to be of course you are already very busy. You haven't got a sales team, have you?
We do have a salesperson at the moment.
Not
a sales team yet.
If you're trying to cover all the teams in any particular country.
Yeah, so we will be looking for business development managers in the countries as we start expanding into them.
Okay.
Anybody
listening who has a great yearning for rugby, it's a lovely way of getting involved in rugby and possibly other team sports, because you are saying it's wide open. How much work do you have to do to get it from rugby to, sake of argument, soccer?
Well, if you consider that we only started in September and we're not even a year in and we're ready to sell to rugby clubs right now, rugby is obviously quite a technical game. It's not going to take that much time at all once we decide to turn our focus onto other sports.
Okay, so funding first and then the rest will be, I won't say history, the rest will be your very rosy future, I hope. You know the old question that I always ask at the end of an interview? Hire in a heartbeat. I have no idea who you're going to say, but I'm just wondering, would it be sports related?
Yeah, it would. I actually, do you know what? Nigel Owens isn't a bad call. However, the first person who came to mind when you said that.
Let me just pick you up on Nigel for a second. Yeah. Did you ever hear him doing his after dinner speeches?
Only not live. I've heard some of the speeches.
I was lucky enough that I was brought by somebody very kind to do, and he spoke. I cried laughing for 20 minutes, I'd say. He is such a showman, such a performer, and his lovely, lovely accent. Of course, a Welsh speaker.
Yeah.
And he actually presents Welsh language programming on Welsh TV. There you go now.
And I think the best thing about Nigel Owens is, although he can make you laugh, he can make you cry too. when he tells his story of where he got to where he was, and I bawled my eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a fantastic person.
Fabulous guy. Yeah. Now, we digress because I always do this. I go into little rabbit holes. Who do you want to hire, as well as Nigel Owens?
As well as Nigel Owens, when you first said it to me, I know everybody says it's difficult. It wasn't for me. The first person who jumped to my mind was Ron Nogara.
Okay. A.K.A. Raj.
Raj, yes.
Why Raj?
Well, as a 10, any world-class 10 has to have a good rugby brain.
Okay, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah, which is probably why I never played that position. But anyway, you know, the work he's done in New Zealand, the work he's doing over in La Rochelle now, where he's got those teams to, that mind, I think, if you could tap into what he knows and how he looks at the game, I think it will be phenomenal.
And what is it about a guy like him that others who might have played to the same standard can't articulate, can't get across, or can't apply to other teams?
Yeah, the best players don't always make the best coaches.
Okay.
You see that a lot. It's how you communicate your vision to the team and how you inspire them to perform well week after week after week. And he seems to have nailed that. I just think he's I'm waiting for him. I'm hoping one of the early countries don't steal him off us. So I think he should be a future Irish coach.
As well as being an ambassador for clothes. He's some dapper dresser, isn't he?
Yes, and a future ambassador for Rugby Smarts.
Of course. Well, why not? Good. Well, Yvonne, will you please come back when you are launching internationally and we'll give you another boost. I'm positively bringing you to Connecticut. We'll go further afield than that. In fact, I'm hoping to head there later in this year, so I might even bring a couple of you. It's hardly packs anymore. Do you remember the days of bringing little CD-ROMs with you? Or am I showing my age? You probably never even heard of them, do you?
Would you believe, when I was in university doing my degree, sports analysis was one of the subjects I did. And I used loads of videos at the time, videos to analyse penalty kicks in rugby. And I nearly failed because no one had ever done it before. But that video thing has just shown my age. It wasn't CDs.
But you passed.
Just about. But I was told no one's ever done it before, so we cannot mark you high enough. And look where I am now.
More importantly for me, you played for Ireland. You wore the green shirt, so congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for turning out for us. That is Yvonne Comer. We will have you back again. And her company and William Johnson's company is called Rugby Smarts. They're looking for backers. They're looking for distributors. They're looking for any help they can get. Yvonne, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you.
Subscribe today to That Great Business Show on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple and Spotify. ISME is the independent SME association, looking after the interests of all types of businesses across Ireland. ISME membership includes invaluable HR and general advice, training, promotional tools, members' discounts, events, and networking with fellow SMEs. ISME membership starts from €195 with easy pay options. ISME. Join today at isme.ie or email membership@isme.ie.
Back on episode 32, we had Audrey Owens from Arnott's on with us to tell us about their fabulous Pitch 21 programme that aims to highlight Irish businesses in their store in the lead up to Christmas. Incredibly, during December, the iconic store has 1 million shoppers pass through its doors. Audrey told me they had hundreds of applications for the programme and they've now drawn up a shortlist of 5. So I'm delighted to announce the 5 shortlisted are: Dublin-based Orca Board that creates versatile battle boards. Thomas's Trendy Socks, creator of fun, colourful socks with a twist. Nancy D's, maker of quality baby products from shoes to soother clips, weaning and nursery accessories. pure clothing that makes sustainable t-shirts, hoodies and joggers from 100% organic cotton. Gym Jams, designed in Dublin, manufactured in India. They're an ethical and sustainable brand committed to a transparent supply chain. And we may even have some of these companies join us on Team GBS sometime ahead of December. Look forward to that. De Facto backs your business, so please back them by buying the world's best shaving oil, defactoshave.com. And as creator Tom Murphy keeps reminding people, it's a shaving oil, not a beard oil. So it's for everyone that shaves. That's why he says it's the best anyone can get.
Gnobio, at That Great Business Show.
We really are finding LinkedIn tremendous for sourcing and talking to great Irish businesses. I connected again with an old friend, Tony O'Kelly, manager of the GMIT-run New Frontiers program via LinkedIn recently. Tony suggested two of today's companies, Rugby Smarts as well as Foodie Save, founded by a Castlebar-based serial entrepreneur, Owen Heveron. Foodie Save is an app, and like all good apps, it appears so simple. Every day, vast amounts of perfectly good food are chucked in the bin in shops, delis, petrol stations, and so on. And that's just wrong. What Foodie Save does is to stop that waste, recoup the cost for the business, and give people the opportunity to buy good food at up to a 65% discount. Supervalue, Maxall, Chopped, Centra, and others are already on board. So Foodie could be a goodie. I've just made that up. Owen Heveron, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Conal, fantastic intro and thanks very much for having me on.
You are a serial entrepreneur. You better talk to me before we get on to your latest venture, some of the other ones, because I have met you before.
We have met before. So back in 2016, I was on Dragon's Den with my other business, Tell My Story Book, which does personalized children's books with a difference. We impose a photograph of the child onto the character of the book, and the child becomes the star of their very own story.
That's still running?
That's still running. I am taking a backseat from that. One of my siblings is actually running that now full time, which allows me to concentrate 100% of my time onto Foodie Save, and it needs it because we're going huge with this business.
And you're going very, very quickly.
We're going very quickly. So we did our beta trials back in August 2020 and they were very successful.
That's only a year ago.
It's a year ago, but it's a quick year. Mm-hmm. So we were ready then to roll out in the last quarter of last year. And due to the pandemic, we decided, right, we're going to put it on ice until restrictions allow, you know, hotels, restaurants, cafes, gastropubs to open up. They're a big part of our target mm-hmm. segment. So we're delighted now with the news. I think they're opening back up. So we're excited, full steam ahead. We're rolling into Galway next month, followed by Dublin at the end of the September.
Pitch me the idea, Owen.
Okay, Conal. So the idea is Foodie Save, it's an app that provides an overview of hotels, cafes, restaurants and other food retailers in your area.
So I'm in Galway.
So you're in Galway, you log on to the app and what you'll see is good quality surplus food in different kind of restaurants, cafes, etc. in that area. And what you can do then is purchase the food on the app, then you turn up to the retailer at their collection window. That's usually an hour before they close, so they'll have whatever surplus food is available, and then you get a surprise bag of food. Now, it's good quality surplus food, so you get that food at up to 65% off the usual retail price.
Sounds too good to be true.
It does sound good to be true, but the good news is it very, very much is true. And I suppose it's a win-win. So it's a win for the consumer. They're getting perfectly good food for a good discount price. But it's also a win then for the retailers. They're left with this surplus food at the end of the day. And previous to Foodie Save, they had to pay to discard of this food. So we're flipping that scenario on its head. And we're effectively giving the retailer a new revenue stream and generating a new revenue stream for this food. But not only that, Conal, what we're also doing is that we're finding them a new customer base. Now, I was actually talking to Colm Mulroy from Londis Castlebar only last week, and he informed me that 9 out of 10 of the consumers coming in to purchase a Foodie Save order are upselling. So this is a huge benefit that we didn't foresee. Well, we thought it would happen, but not to that scale.
That is big.
It's huge. It's huge.
But sorry, are you already in that Londis in Castlebar?
Yeah. So we're in with the two Mulroy's Londises in Castlebar and a number of other ones as well. So he's absolutely delighted. So not only is he getting his, he calls it a bonus revenue stream because it's money that wasn't there before, but he's getting these new consumers that he hadn't got before. They're upselling. And a lot of them, I suppose, through the goodwill, they're coming back as full paying customers as well. So there's multi benefits to it.
Now, the bit that I kind of go, not so sure, when you start talking to me about a pack of food, maybe I don't like, I'm going to make something up, maybe I don't like chicken. And there's chicken in my bag.
Yeah, so basically it's not going to suit everyone. So how it works is when you click, let's take Mulroy's for an example, Mulroy's Landis. When you click onto their store, you'll actually get a menu of what you're potentially likely to get. So that may include chicken, it may include, you know, beef stir fries, chicken noodles, whatever it may be. But you're not guaranteed you know exactly what it is. You know it's going to be one of them elements, but you'll get €14 worth of perfectly good quality surplus food for €5 on the app. And that's essentially how it works.
Now, again, thinking through, if I were a retailer and I'm, you know, trying to make sure I maximize my profits, you're making me sell perfectly good food at a big discount in the last hour. Anybody who's any sense will wait until that last hour.
That's a lot of, we've gotten a lot of feedback from our from the retailers about that. But what's actually happening is that we're finding a new customer base. If the consumer or if the retailer was to do that themselves, their retail base and customers are going to wait until that last hour. What's different about us is we'll come to Galway and we'll be targeting all of Galway City. And what our retailers are finding is they're getting customers they never had before. So we're actually, they're keeping their normal customer base, but we're finding them new extra customers on top of that. And it's something, I suppose the proof is in the pudding. The amount of retailers that are sticking with us, they're actually recommending us to fellow retailers. So it's working very well for all involved.
Now, you were making, as you mentioned very earlier, the books. Yes. Where did this idea come from?
It came from, so it was about 5 years ago, I was in my local deli. It was about maybe 10, 15 minutes before they closed. So I walked in and it must have been a quiet day because there was a fine array of food still left over. And I went up to the hot food counter about to order my dinner. And I got chatting to the lady behind the counter and I just said, you know, what's going to happen to all this food when you close, you know, in 10, 15 minutes? And she informed me that's all going to be thrown into the bin.
So wrong.
And at that moment, it just struck me. I said, right, that's a big problem. And it's a problem I'm going to solve. Like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm always kind of thinking of solutions. And I just kind of went back, kind of noted it, and I said, right, that's there's something in this. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I have a few different business interests. So I never had the time until earlier, beginning of last year, actually. And then I sat down, I did some kind of feasibility search, customer research, and I quickly saw there's massive potential here. So I developed it, got it up on the road, and from that, Foodie Save was born.
So I will download your app onto my phone, and when you are in my area, I will then know what's available, where to go, what happens next.
So it's click and collect. So basically you can go onto it, you'll scroll through the area and you'll have a selection that you can pick from. So you might have your local gastropub, your supermarket, Super Values, Landis, anywhere that has good quality surplus food. Hotels is a big one that we're moving into now. We're actually having hotels contacting us with their breakfast buffets and stuff like that. So any good quality surplus food, you can go onto it, you'll go, right, that takes my fancy. I'm going to buy that. It'll tell you what time to collect it. As mentioned earlier, it'll normally be about an hour before end of service or end of business. And then you'll turn up at that time. You've already paid through the app. And then you do a simple swipe off the app. And then you collect your food. And then you go home and enjoy a fine meal or dinner.
You're selling it very well to me. Talk to me about Landis in Castlebar. Who or what kind of customers are they seeing using the app?
Yeah, it's a great question. So basically, on top of what they're finding, so in their particular store, they're finding a lot of young mothers who want convenience. So they may be working, they may not be working, they just might be flat out and they don't fancy cooking that evening. So they're coming in, they know they're going to get good quality surplus food. It's handy for the kids. That's dinner sorted so they can kind of relax. So that's one segment we're getting. The other one is actually the eco-friendly demographic. So it's people that can see that there's a big issue. So one thing I didn't mention is that like one third of the world's food production is wasted every year.
It is terrible.
That equates to 8% of total greenhouse gas emissions. So it's a massive problem, not just in Ireland, but globally. And there's a demographic out there who want to kind of help that and fight against food waste. And that's what, obviously, they want value for money as well. But they're also coming in, they go, right, I'm doing my bit for the environment. I'm rescuing that surplus food. I'm getting a good dinner at the same time and I'm getting good value. So it's a win-win-win.
And you've told me a couple of times that you're a businessman. So you're trying to make money out of this. So where do you make your money? Where's your margin? Where's your cut?
Yeah, so basically we have a very, very simple business model and we kind of developed this by working closely with retailers. So it's a simple, simple model. The consumer buys the food. That's the transaction which we capture through our app and then we take a commission of each transaction. There's no sign-up fee. There's no contract. So as a retailer, you can partner up with us, free to do it. We do all the work for you. We get you all set up. We advertise it. We drive new customers to your shop. And then for all of that, we just take a percentage of each commission, a commission of each transaction.
And I don't need to tell you that in business, in this type of business, it's about the land grab, getting out there ASAP.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how are you going to do that?
That's what we're focused on now at the moment. So we're doing a big push out now in Galway, as I mentioned, next month. We've just taken on a new business development executive for the Dublin area. We'll be taking on another one in September. And as you mentioned, it is a land grab. We're going big, we're going fast, and it's exciting times ahead, Tunnel. And yeah, we're ready to go for it.
But if you are big in Ireland, how quickly can you get into the UK? 10 times the population.
Yeah, so that's obviously the next natural step. But then beyond that, we're going to the US as well.
Good man,
so,
I love it.
Oh yeah, we're going big with this. Like,
Circle K, if you're interested.
Yes.
They are a Canadian company. That is Couche Tard, I think is they're known. And Apple Green, of course, being an Irish company, is very big in forecourts in the US.
Absolutely.
Now, they're not massive, but they're growing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's someone, like, if there's anyone listening with a connection to either, I'd definitely love to speak to you and just show you and tell you about the benefits that we can offer for your organizations.
Because the big one for them is, well, obviously very good for the environment and being good in the society, but on the cost of the food, you're more or less giving them back the cost of the food. So therefore, it's a big saving, really.
Absolutely. That's a big one for them. Another big one for them is the whole corporate social responsibility. So these big companies, they're really, and it's fantastic to see, they're buying into it, which is great for everyone, great for the environment. And it reflects well on them as a company. And what we do as well is we provide them with data on the amount of food waste that they save. So they can use this data, not only on the, like say, the tonnage of food that they save, but we'll also translate that into CO2 emissions saved. So they can use this for their PR drive and get a great kind of great reaction to that.
And the first question, when I had a phone call with you, the first question I asked you was about my old friend, Isolt Ward, of Food Cloud. They have done magnificent things in trying to avoid the waste of food. Are you, and I use this phrase with you, are you eating poor old Isolt's lunch?
No, we're not. And first of all, I want to totally agree with you. Food Cloud is a fantastic business. I absolutely love what they're doing. So they have two arms to their business, and the largest arm, the majority of the stuff that they do is, I suppose, that hub level. So the likes, you know, the Tesco's and the Lidl's. So they have big hubs with, like, you know, tons upon tons of food. And that's the main part of their business that they're doing. I suppose what we're mostly concentrating on is, you know, the individual stores. So that's where the difference is. And with them individual stores, there's still thousands of tons wasted into skips every week. So it's a huge, huge problem. And I guess we're just adding a solution to that, along with Food Cloud. And there's a few others that will probably be joining the fight against food waste as well.
And what about funding? Are you happy that you're fully funded? Because if you're going for that land grab, you know what that means. Build, build, build a team. Building a team costs money because they're not bringing in the cash yet.
Yeah, so that's actually, that's the process we're in at the moment. So we've gotten funding of 130,000 already from the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine. We're in the process of just starting our fundraising of 500,000 is what we're raising to build out senior management and help to expand right throughout Ireland and then start overseas. So
let me stop you there. Yeah. The 500,000, where are you going to get that?
Well, we started our first pitch there with HBAN. That was only there very recently. We'll be doing a few more with HBAN. Then we're looking at some private investors as well. Can't mention them at the moment.
Oh, you have people in line, have you?
No, we have people in line, but we're always looking to talk to more. So if there's anyone out there listening, if they want to get involved in an exciting business, a business that is going to make an impact not only to the environment, but it will make an impact to your wallet as well. So definitely get in touch if you'd like to discuss it.
Seems to make sense. I mean, I love the simplicity of it. It is very simple. Did you know the way that you say, this is very simple, there must be a catch somewhere. Did you ever find your catch?
There is no catch, that which is the beauty. But that, no, honestly, that is the thing. So basically, it's a simple model and it's a simple thing, but there was work brought into that simplicity. So in our market research, we worked tirelessly with retailers in order to simplify it. So we understand that retailers, they have their operations. Our FoodieSafe platform needs to integrate seamlessly with their operations in order to make it work. Good news is we do that. So we're in talks with Aldi, Lidl, Dunstores, with senior management, and we're hoping to have trials coming up soon where we can get into the store, view their operations. We already know how operations work with SuperValu because we're working with them at the moment and we're rolling out with them. With Aldi and Lidl in particular, I think it'd be very beneficial for them and for us. So,
and they might bring you across Europe.
Absolutely, because like Lidl in Ireland, they have 209 stores, but worldwide, I think it's close to 10,000 stores. So, and then Aldi as well, I think it's 149 stores in Ireland. And again, they have thousands of stores across the
world. Isn't it funny what you learn when you have to learn? Those numbers, I bet you if I asked you that a couple of months ago, you said, no idea.
Yeah, I'm actually very good with numbers. Normally, I know them all spot on, but numbers, I'd be a strong point, all right.
Very good. Come here, last question, usual last question. You're higher in a heartbeat, and I'm going to tell people that you had forgotten about this, so you're going to make it up now. Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
There'd be probably a number that I'd hire in a heartbeat. Eamon Quinn would be a big one for me. So Eamon, I don't know if you're aware of it, he chairs the government's action group on food waste in the retail sector. And like, not only that, I've met him a couple of times. He was actually on Dragon's Den when I was there in 2016. And I've met him a couple of times. He's just a really good person. He's a very shrewd businessman. He's in the kind of area that we're in. So Eamon, yeah, I definitely like to get him involved. Gavin Wall is another guy from Belfast. He's a retailer turned VC. That guy is just full of energy.
I'm not familiar. I know Eamon of old, but Gavin Wall, don't know him.
Gavin Wall from Belfast. He owns a chain of Spar retail shops, and he's recently, I think it's called the Change VC. It's a new VC based in Belfast. And he'd be a guy, he knows the sector. He brings tons of energy. And I think he could be a good addition to the team. And then lastly, and absolutely not least, now this is a guy you've only come across.
I thought you didn't have anybody. You've now got three.
Well, yeah. If it pops up when you need it, it'll come to you. So there's another guy. This guy's only come onto my radar very recently, Desmond J. Green. So he is big into kind of green technology and investing in green technology. And he's a very strong advocate of the environment as well. So like, again, his values and like the previous two people I mentioned, their values, and which is very important to us in our culture and the company we're building, they all align with what we're doing. So them three individuals, one, two, our three of them, if we could get them on the team, we'd be delighted.
I'm going to throw another name at you because we had him on the show. Yeah. Norman Crowley. He is very interested in the whole food area. I will connect you with him, and you might do a little bit of business with
him. Excellent. Would absolutely love that.
Well, Owen Heverin, thank you so much for coming. You better give another shout out to Tony O'Kelly of GMIT New Frontiers, because that is the reason that you're here, and that's the reason that Ivan Comer was here, because he is such a big backer of that great business show. So Owen Heverin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for the opportunity to come on, and big thanks to Tony as well.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com. ISME is the independent SME association, looking after the interests of all types of businesses across Ireland. ISME membership includes invaluable HR and general advice, training, promotional tools, members' discounts, events, and networking with fellow SMEs. ISME membership starts from €195 with easy pay options. ISME. Join today at isme.ie or email membership@isme.ie.
You're hearing ads for ISME, the Small and Medium Enterprise Association, for the first time on That Great Business Show, and we are so delighted to partner with them. That Great Business Show backs Irish SMEs, ISME backs Irish SMEs, and if you ask any ISME member, they'll say the organisation has proved its mettle hundreds of times over during the pandemic, when, beyond anything else, ISME was there as a support for businesses through the toughest of times. So we're glad to have you aboard, ISME, and we hope to roll out some further initiatives with ISME in the near future.
You're listening to That Great Business Show. ThatGreatBusinessShow.com.
I often think about the person who created the first wheel. A wheel is the perfect idea, simple, and yet it transformed the world. I hope I'm not overhyping our next business, Civic Dollars, when I say that I believe it's in the same category as the wheel idea. It's just brilliant and simple. Stephen McPeak is founder of Civic Dollars, that is backed by the Northern Ireland accelerator Ignite NI. Stephen describes Civic Dollars as a health-based community currency being used to improve public health and well-being by incentivizing greater use of parks and open spaces. Just launched in Belfast, is coming to Dublin very soon, with many large British cities to follow soon. Stephen McPeak, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thanks very much, Conal. Thanks for having me.
That is a kind of a mouthful to tell me that it's a health-based community currency, yada, 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 because it's much simpler than that. Do please explain.
Yeah, well, to put it simply, people can earn civic dollars for spending time in parks and open spaces. The idea is to give them a nudge to visit the parks and open spaces and to try and get those, especially who are inactive, a bit more active. So the idea came about, I actually bought civicdollars.com in 2013 with an idea to link it to another app I have in some councils in the north called Reportall. So I wanted to incentivize people to use it, but like all the other apps or domains I've bought over the years, it's been parked and I'm still paying for them.
And now, come on, they cost about €5 or €6 or sterling or whatever.
Yeah, I'm pretty miserable, so it still grinds me to pay that. But at the end of 2018, Belfast launched their initial Smart City Challenges, and one of them was around active health. So I went in with a proposal to use Civic Dollars as a way to nudge people to be more active, and we were lucky enough to get funding through that for a scoping study. So the scoping study, we went through a lot of research from Queen's University in Belfast with their Centre of Excellence for Public Health, and used expertise from PwC's Blockchain and Innovation Department to do this scoping study to see, I suppose, if it is feasible, can it be built, will it work, will people use it, and more importantly, will people buy it? So it was really interesting, and For me especially, it's a complete pivot from what I normally do. I'm an IT consultant. So to think about how to use apps and how to use nudge theory to get people to change their behaviour is really interesting.
That is the first time, because I was reading about you, that I ever read about nudge theory. It's a lovely idea.
Yeah, and I suppose it goes way back to Pokemon Go. That was one of the first gamification games that came out. I suppose gamification is just a way of getting people to do something they wouldn't normally do for a reward. So to get into that, a lot of it was psychology based, and something I wouldn't know very much about, being a nerd. So to learn about that, it was brilliant to see the effect that you can have on people's behaviour.
And as a business, you've done the studies. Are people willing to, one, pay for it, to use it? Because they were the two things that you said that you were studying, and they're obviously fundamental to any business.
Yeah, well, the research was really interesting, because what we wanted to do is to start from the ground up and get the community groups built into it, because after this scoping study, we won phase one of a different Smart Belfast project called Amazing Spaces, and that was about incentivizing people to spend more time in the park and to reduce barriers to people visiting the park. So we went at a ground level, and we went to the community groups to see what they would like as a reward and what their members would like as a reward. So there's a lot of research, and lucky we were able to do it face-to-face back then. That was around the start of 2019. So coming at that peer level, at the low level, so people could earn civic dollars for spending time in the park. They could either get a reward to improve their lifestyle or that of the community, because they could donate their civic dollars to the community groups, who could see a different set of rewards from large corporations to get legal support, financial advice, get websites and logos designed and built for them, business support. So it's stuff they normally couldn't pay for or thought they could get access to, but now they could just by getting their members out.
Which is a lovely, lovely idea. I keep saying it because I love it. Now, talk me through Mary and or John. How do they earn their civic dollars? And remember that you're talking to the laziest person on planet Earth, and I will try to circumvent any ideas that you have and still get my civic dollars.
Yeah, I suppose working in the IT security side of it, that was very important. What you're saying at the end is how to get around it, or how to hack the system, because that's the first thing I would have tried to do back back in the day. So yeah, Mary and John, all we have to do is create a geofence around the park from our portal or back-end system and assign it a value. So we decided to be able to assign parks different value. So say it's an area of deprivation or bad health, we can increase the earn value of that park to try and incentivize or nudge people to go into that park a bit more often. So all they have to do is download the app, enter email address, password, create an account. And once they walk into the zone, all they have to do is check the green, hit the green button to say you want to check, and it has to be a user-initiated check-in to be GDPR compliant. And as soon as they walk out of the park, they're checked out. So we try to be as ethical as possible whenever we're collecting the data, so we make sure it's shut out as soon as they leave the park, and it's passive as opposed to actively tracking them everywhere, wherever they go, which would be a big barrier to people using it.
So Mary and John are two pals. They're walking around the park for half an hour. They get
one civic dollar for every half hour they spend in the park. And it doesn't matter, they can one run, walk, cycle, or just sit on a bench. Because that was one of the big things about health inequality, is that a lot of other incentive programs that are out there, you're rewarded for your doing your 5Ks or your park runs or cycling, etc. It's all based on activity, whereas we want to base it on time spent within a park. At least they're going, walking to the park bench, you're creating incidental activity or activity by stealth, that at least they're walking there, sitting in the park bench, they can still earn their civic dollars, because that's a big
smoking
piece.
Smoking cigarettes.
They can do, which isn't very good for them, but yeah, it's their own choice.
So they get, for their half hour, they get a civic dollar.
Yep.
Then how do they then cash that in?
What we've done in Belfast is that we've partnered up with a lot of the local coffee shops and cafes. So we've used them as distribution zones. So we put bus public transport vouchers, access to leisure centres, other small rewards like USB sticks, power bank adapters. And we've put them in the cafes, and they've acted as distribution zones for us. So not only do people have to come in to trade them for their civic dollars, they just show them the phone with the tick on it. But what we're actually doing as well is creating that footfall into the shop. So at least whenever they're in there, they could grab a coffee or and get a discount off their wares as well. So not only is it good for the health and the social side of it with the community groups, we're also trying to push the economy back again as
and
well.
It is launched.
Yeah, launched on the 3rd of June there.
And what's the take-up like?
So far we're only live in one park in Belfast. There's another two going live this weekend and another one after that. So in one park, since we started, we've had 1,100 registered users. And
what were you expecting? That seems like a big number to me. What were you expecting?
At the start, we expected 500 by the end of the summer all across the city.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You've smashed it.
Yeah, I suppose I have to look at my KPIs again and try and reassess them. But it's had a far better download and pickup rate than I ever could have imagined. And that's primarily due to the community groups pushing it for us because they see the benefit of it. And they're saying to their members, we're using them as a real catalyst to get members on board it. And they're saying, get your butts out into the park, earn some civic dollars, use some for yourself, but give some back to us because look at the good rewards we can get to help improve the community.
And you are a business, so who's paying you your dollars?
Yeah. So the councils pay me as a SaaS model, a software as a service. So they pay me a monthly fee to get access to create their own parks, create their own rewards, and see the data behind the scenes, because the council can see at an aggregated level or anonymized level, they can see where people are entering and exiting the park, what direction they're going around, and more importantly, sort of the heat maps where people are congesting in the parks, so they can sort of build for the future and see where they need to widen paths or put wardens or one-way systems in place. Especially people are a bit wary about busier parks these days.
And if you have to spend a half an hour in the park just to earn your $1, are you seeing that people are spending two hours or an hour or longer or shorter? Or
yeah, they seem to be spending more time in the park, although with the weather last week was a different story.
Weather. Yeah,
the charts are fantastic to see whenever there's a bank holiday or when there's wet weather, how it dips, and then with good weather it comes up again. But then that's again the data behind the scenes will be interesting to analyze, because you can also report problems while you're in the park. So be that antisocial behaviour, dog fouling, litter. We've taken our learnings from Report All and put it into civic dollars as well. So we can give the council a layer as well to see, oh, people are avoiding that area of the park, and then layer the issues to see if it's because there's antisocial behaviour. So to try and drive that out and make parks safer for everybody.
Now, you've already conquered, and I'm using the word loosely, Belfast. You're just about to launch in Dublin. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We were lucky there was an open call put out for the new Smart 8 district as part of the Smart Dublin project. So Smart D8 is focused on health, well-being and community. And they had an open call for projects that would fit the bill. And we got awarded it there a few weeks ago. And we have the kickoff meeting tomorrow with the guys, just to introduce ourselves to the team, to get the identify parks, businesses and community groups that we can target. And the Smart Dublin team have been fantastic. I've kept an eye on them over the last couple of years and very innovative.
And you have already branched into Britain because you are chasing down some business over there.
Yeah, we're going live with Leeds hopefully next month if we can get all the documentation in place. It is busy, but that's the beauty behind a SaaS product, that it all is all online, and everybody's more accustomed to online meetings as well these days.
Ah, yes, but you are the salesperson as well as many other things, and you also have to keep an eye on the technology and I presume Leeds today, London the following week, Edinburgh after that. What's the big vision?
Yeah, we want to roll it out all across the UK, Ireland, and hopefully head to Australia and the States, because they have big smart city schemes as well. But I suppose it's not only smart city projects that we look for. We can roll this out across any region. And we've identified over COVID that we realised the whole staycation was becoming a thing. So we've built in that we can identify or geofence around areas of conservation, tourism or heritage, and people can earn civic dollars for doing that. But we can mark that as a donation-only zone. So we can automatically donate those civic dollars to a community group around those areas. So it's always expanding. And although, as you said, I'm a solo founder, but I rely heavily on a team of developers, designers, mentors, accountants, everything else. So I can't really say I'm on my own.
And I'm intrigued. You said Australia, which is very far away, and the States. And I know the common thing there is the English language. Whereas places like, and I'm going to guess here because I don't actually know, not for the first time, I'm making it up, Finland, Estonia, all these countries that are way ahead on digital.
Yeah.
Would they not be the obvious places to go?
Oh, definitely the Nordic and the Baltic states. We've actually held a workshop with the Danish city of Aalborg to discuss about civic dollars and how we could roll it out there. And it was really interesting because they are so forward thinking. They wanted to use it as a multifaceted nudge solution, not only for using parks, but also to incentivize parents to leave the cars behind at the school run and incentivize them to take the kids and walk and cycling or public transport to schools as well. But they really are above and beyond what we've seen in this neck of the woods.
That's really interesting, because it is kind of, when the more if you think start thinking about it, the possibilities are endless. What have what other big ideas have you either come across or thought up yourself even better?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's all I'm thinking at the minute is bolt-ons to civic dollars. And of course, we'd love it to go down the sustainability route as well, that people could earn civic dollars for reducing their plastic consumption and increasing recycling.
Love it.
And there, I suppose in my initial document of civic dollars, as we were discussing there, we wanted that people could get access to fresh fruit and veg to use that maybe they wouldn't have access to. But also on the long term, the corporations that are helping us from the community side of it, that they're giving rewards to community groups, that they can hold that. And yes, we give them a social impact dashboard where they can see how many groups they've helped, how many civic dollars they've earned from them, and how many hours of their employees' time that they've gave. But also from the dashboard, they can see how that relates to how many hours in a park that's generated. But long term, I'd like that to relate to once they hit a threshold, that they'll get a reduction of their rates or tax bill as well, showing that social value behind it. So it's given them a tangible benefit.
It really is endless. Like, my head is beginning to go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, mine too, but it's expensive as well, so I have to be mindful.
So that's two questions out of, since you mentioned expense. One is, you've got to earn some dollars yourself. Yep. How are you doing that? Because through the SaaS model, is it?
Yeah, we were very lucky that last year we won phase two of that SBRI, the Amazing Spaces one, and that gave us funding to build the full production version of Civic Dollars. So we have the apps and the platform sitting ready to go, and it's built as a scalable solution. So we could roll that out with very little expense to us. Yes, once we start licensing the platform to councils, they'll obviously need tweaks and the hosting costs as well.
So are you funding, are you looking for funds? Team GBS, that's our listeners, sometimes make phone calls or sometimes contact us on LinkedIn and other ways, and they say, we like the sound of that. Can we get involved? Are you trying to fund?
Not at the moment. We have enough.
Even better, love it.
Yeah.
He's keeping it all to himself.
We have it built, and I suppose, again, we're very lucky that we have it built and at such a stage without having to take investment or give out equity. But that's something we're going to be looking at over the next 4 to 5 months, that because if we want that gazelle growth that they all talk about to take it to the next level, we might need investment to do that.
Well, if you are doing so, please tell us and we'll put out a call, because obviously there's no point putting out a call if you're not going to give away any of your lovely equity.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, the last question that we ask on That Great Business Show is, who would Stephen McPeak hire in a heartbeat?
Yeah, I've been pondering over this since you mentioned it at the start of the week. But the first name that came to my head is still one that I'm thinking of. There's been some fantastic researchers that we've been working with, and academics as well. That would be definitely up there, especially there's Ruth Hunter from Queen's and Rachel Gawley, who have been instrumental from the start, and their influence and mentorship has been very useful. But I would have to say Seamus Cushley, who is at the minute working for Bizarre Voice in Belfast. He was working for PwC whenever we were doing the scoping study. And he was the first person I met when we first mentioned civic dollars. So Seamus would be an expert in blockchain innovation, you name it, he knows about it. And to get his advice and mentorship, and still do to this day, and he's so forthcoming with his help, he would definitely be the first person to go to.
Lovely. Seamus Cushley, C-U-S-H...
L-E-Y.
L-E-Y. Well done, Seamus. And the final question, of course, will be that you will come back to us when you are about to fund, because I think people will want to get involved with this
one. If they have deep pockets, I'd talk to them.
Of course you would. Stephen McPeak, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show. And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 45. As always, my thanks to the team here at the Dublin Podcast Studio, home of Ireland's best podcast sound engineers. Manager Peter Rice is actively looking for other podcast makers to use these beautifully upgraded studios here in Dundrum, Dublin 14. You will not find a more enthusiastic team. Thanks today to sound engineer Rob Curry for helping make us sound the best sounding podcast ever. My thanks to Tom O'Kelly at GMIT for sending on both Yvonne Homer and Owen Heverin, plus some other great companies that you will be hearing about in the near future. And Maeve Neefsey, an Ignite NI mentor, has suggested some fantastic companies from that program, and we will bring some of them to you in the coming months as well. Lots of businesses are starting their own podcasts. That's our business. So if you would like us to produce podcasts for you, get on to producer at thatgreatbusinessshow.com right away. And we also want your ads. We're delighted to have Ismi on board now. If you want to talk to Ireland's SME community, That Great Business Show is the way to do it. Email producer at thatgreatbusinessshow.com, where you can find out about all our advertising packages. And if you know of a great business that needs, should be, must be on That Great Business Show, do not hesitate. Tell us all about it. ThatGreatBusinessShow.com, or go even easier onto the LinkedIn pages, where we have great conversations with past, present and future guests. Finally, my thanks to our sponsor, DeFactoShave.com, the world's best shaving oil. Try it for just a week, and like me, you will be a forever convert. From me, Conal O'Moran, until next week, Slán tamall.